Yeah, because just be a gentleman. She just needs to Christine and Joe. Technology. Okay. That was Pam. She's having trouble accessing the agenda to get the link. So Christy's going to email it to her. She said to let you know that she as soon as she's back.
I just sent it to her. I just sent it to her.
And that's the latest agenda out of the folder, or are you sending?
What Paula sent to me, I don't have
Okay.
Oh.
We'll work through it.
What it says here, you said agenda link. And someone said, here's the agenda link for everybody. Did
All right, mister.
you
It is
get
9 a.m. You guys ready? 9 a.m. Recording.
Sure.
We're ready.
Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to this meeting, Tuesday, January 21st, 2025, to the regular Board of County Commissioners meeting. I invite everyone to please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Tony Haas, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by our new and incoming County Commissioner, Robert Lucero.
Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for another new year. Make this new year a happy one. Make us strong so that we may deal with sorrow and pain. Not by making our paths easy, but by making us sturdy enough to travel any path. Please guide us through the trials of this new year with grace, peace, and joy. Bless our loved ones. Keep them free from disease and harm. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, commissioners. Roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Mr. Haas?
Here.
Mr. Lucero?
Here.
Mr. Lopez?
I'm here, sir. These Lopez and Haas has had us for quite a few years now. So welcome, Commissioner Lucero. I want to extend that welcome to you, and looking forward to working with you as well, sir. Approval of the agenda, Mr. Dorenkamp. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. Any discussion? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Move to approve the agenda.
I'll need a second on that.
Second.
Mr. Cerro?
Yes.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. I'm going to go to item two, consideration of minutes, 2A, regular meeting minutes of January 7, 2025. Commissioners, any questions, any discussion on the minutes?
Commissioner, I won't vote on this. I won't abstain from this because I wasn't in at that time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that comment. Commissioner Haas?
None.
None. Hearing that, I'll step down as the chair to make the motion. I'll make a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes on January 7, 2025.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Item three, reading of correspondence, Commissioner Meter reports. Once again, we're going to take this opportunity to welcome you, Commissioner Lucero. Would you like to go first, sir?
Yes. I haven't had an opportunity to do a whole lot since I'm only a week in, but I did attend the CCI conference for new commissioners in Denver 3 days last week. A lot of beneficial information. And there's a lot of learning yet that'll take place on my end, specifically with DHS and public health. They cover a lot of areas, so I've got a lot of studying to do.
Drinking from a fire.
We have a pretty good fire chief's team in Los Angeles County. So, thank you, sir, Commissioner Haas.
Welcome, Mr. Lucero.
Thank you.
On the 9th, I attended a discussion on the re revegetation bill that is going to be introduced by CBA. And this discussion revolved around avoiding the buy and dry, for instance, like Crowley County. Aurora wants more water. And how could we go about doing that? And being one of the ag people at CCI, they invited me to participate in this conversation. And having been with the Colorado Farm Bureau and the regional manager, and Crowley County was one of my counties that I represented, I listened to those farmers extensively for many years. And what would you have done different? And one thing that I did approach this group about was once the water's been identified for the taking, then allow 1 year or at least 2 years for that farmer to establish, those farmers on that ditch to establish a cover crop by utilization of at least a portion of the water. Once they've established a cover crop and they've built up their soil because it lacks the nutrients because it's been irrigated, that you know it's going to be dried up, so you have to introduce straw and manure and that sort of thing so that you have that base in the soil, then allow the transfer of the water. We're getting a lot of pushback from Aurora. They want the water now. They don't, even though it's going to go up, it'll be banked. The water would be banked. They want the water right now. They don't want to have to wait. And my comment to that was, it's my water. If I'm down there, it's my water. I'm going to tell you when you can have that water. And I'll establish, if you want my water, you're going to allow me to establish this. That didn't go over very well, but that's okay.
So Commissioner, as on that, you know, also NACO is talking about dry counties, and that's going to be one of the conversations at the national platform. My concern, in one of the comments that I actually had with a fellow commissioner from Arizona, one of the things is, can you not do only a certain percentage, say that you yield 50% of your water, and then you still have access to the other 50% according to the shares of water that you have procured historically? And apparently those negotiations are not going too well. I hope Crowley and other counties, because if Crowley County, and I didn't know that is a dry county, that's a huge impact to ag.
They, Crowley County did sell their water to Aurora, I think way back.
Yeah.
I can't remember when that was, but and they did a total buy and dry. And that area is struggling,
yeah,
to say the least. The one concern I had was, if would that be encroaching on a county's 1041 powers? If we were to write this up in legislation, would that encroach on what we would be able to say? Hey, no, if it's written into the bill.
Well, that is a research that we're going to have to do. And once again, if you have some of the private landowners, which is where the argument usually the conversation leads to, a private landowner that wants to dry their land in exchange for a monetary compensation, I think they have the ability. But when, so nonetheless, that's, I'm looking forward to having that going to the round table. And I believe Commissioner McFaul from Fremont County might be on that. And I hope they're gonna be addressing that very issue, because this is happening more so in the western part of the United States. Our states are really suffering more so with the Colorado River, the impact of the water. So from here all the way to, you have Arizona, you have Utah, New Mexico in some instances, and all the way to California. So I think that it's worth the research, maybe bringing it to CCI so they can do some research and see if that could be or is perhaps part of the 1041. So that's a good question.
And being on that CCI board, maybe this would be a good opportunity to maybe visit that at one of our conferences.
Yep.
Senator McCormick and Senator Simpson are both sponsoring this bill, and both of them are real easy to visit with, and they would take, you know, our suggestions to heart. So maybe that would be an opportunity to visit them. On the 15th, I attended the CDA commission meeting. Kate had just got back from the SMART Act hearing at their Capitol, and the Ag Committee drilled them pretty hard on their fundings and their findings of so many new hires. In fact, I got another report here that's going to say they had 4 new hires last week, and so they had to answer some really tough questions. One of the hires was Maggie Baldwin. She'll be one of the on the Animal Health Board running that. One of the reports we got was the avian influenza is in its 3rd year now. But the good news is that every dairy in Colorado has been released from quarantine. So that's 64 dairies.
And Commissioner, I know this is more your report, but I, as I gather information as well, the two things, the animal health officer that has just been hired by CDA, given the information that was shared through one of the links yesterday, that the wolves that have been introduced to the state of Colorado are now, they're bringing parasites, deadly parasites to the state, and therefore in their fecal matter, and that creates, could be another pandemic within the animal kingdom. And my worry now is, what is this health officer through CDA, CPW, how are they going to coordinate all those things? We need to really bring that conversation to Kate. And they need to really respond to the question, what's happening with the ag in Colorado?
Yeah, that's a good topic to bring up. I did see that. And yeah, it'll be interesting. The other thing that was talked about at large was the screwworm infestation that's happening right down here in Mexico. It hasn't been in the United States since early 1900s. And this particular type of screwworm eats live flesh on animals. It doesn't eat dead flesh, it eats live flesh. So they've Mexico notified the U.S. in November that they had found their first case. And as soon as that happened, they banned any imports from Mexico. And then we found out that there's now a hoof and mouth case in Germany, which has been eradicated from the U.S. from way back. So same thing, they're going to be banned from any imports in the U.S. We did talk about the wolf reintroduction, and they've got 3 range riders is all they have at this time, but they're doing trainings and they're going to contract that position out, more positions out to these individuals that pass the training. And their biggest thing is carcass management at this point. You can't have a dead pile in back 40. They're going to make them dispose of them. Hollis Glenn gave his report. He has 3 new hires in his division. There's 3 divisions now. He's got 3 new hires, Dr. McGrath, Ruben Potesio, and Ricky Garcia. And they're going to be handling labor issues and ag worker issues. Anyway, interesting conversations in that. Jordan Beasley talked about 130 bills now that already CDA will be tracking, and how that's going to be kind of an education curve for those new legislators. Over a quarter of the legislators now are new. And let's see here. Their budget was a big topic. They talked about a $250,000 one-time transfer from the disease indemnity payout, a $10,000 a year transfer from the general fund, one-time transfer of $20,000 for interest earnings on the disease cash fund and a transfer to general fund of 1.1 million from the health dental assistance program that they have. On the 16th, the legislative steering committee with CCI land use had a meeting with the sponsors of the modular housing bill that I talked to Link a couple of weeks ago about. And one of the questions that was brought up is, where's the fiscal note and how's it going to be funded? Because at this point, they don't know. And one of the sponsors kept talking about this being a fee that was sort of like a tax. And later on in her description of the bill, it was a tax going to be much like a fee. And I don't think they have a clue what they're imposing on us at this point. Also on the 17th, or the 16th, CHP had their quarterly update meeting, and we've got three new vacancies in the CCI building, and it's going to be a challenge for CTSI to maintain that building with three more vacancies in there. And the 800 Grant Street sale of the floor by for CCI, CTSI did purchase the floor back. So, but CCI will be able to stay there until this legislative session is over, which would probably be around May or August. I mean, between May and August, when they can move out. If they decide to stay, that June is the day that they have to be out, 1st of June. They decide to stay, then they have to pay what a normal tenant would pay at that time. So that's good news that they're moving on. Then on the 17th, CCI held a discussion with the WE Foundation, the board, the Resiliency Code Board. There's 24 voting members on that board. About 12 of them were present. The board was set up in 2023 and it has met every month to the present. Final draft will be posted on March 31st. Comment period will end July 31st, and local jurisdictions have until January 7th of 2026 to come into compliance. And still a lot of questions hanging around that affordability, and they're trying to come up with ways to fund that. And for your benefit, Mr. Richards, I asked for the slideshow because that's going to have a lot to do with building codes and fire codes. And they said they would send it. We'll see. February 7th, they're going to be having a conversation with fire professionals. And if I receive that link, I'll shoot it to you so you can be aware of that. And that's my report, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, commissioners. Not being redundant, I have a summary. This legislature 2025 legislative session is fairly underway for 2 weeks. We have 140 bills that have been introduced. 84 have come from the House, 56 from the Senate, and all these bills are going to be impacted. But as Commissioner Tony has alluded to, there were some of the conversations that we had last week on the CCI, the landlord-tenant laws are on high heat with basically the bill sponsors because they're alleging collusion among landlords and price setting and so on and so forth. So House Bill 25, 1004 will prohibit coordination of price setting of rents. Senate Bill 25020 will give the Attorney General's Office the authority to bring civil and criminal actions to enforce landlord-tenant laws. And that's the meeting that we were at. Price gouging of necessary goods is also on this on the agenda. House Bill 25-1010 consider site gouge when product costs 10% more than the average. So this is going to be a lot of insight that's going on. And if you watch the state of the state address, Governor Polis is going to be given the opportunity for faith-based agencies that have property to build affordable housing with some, if you will, some opportunities to work with the legislature, to work with the land use codes. One of the things at the meeting that we were at, some of the questions that were asked, and I personally asked to see the fiscal note. We want the fiscal note. We want to see how much the state mandates. They want to create this land use code by region. So on that particular one, I said, well, what happens if our county chooses to maintain, if we don't have WUI responsibilities on one side of the county, but we have them on the other side, which ones do we enforce? And then who gets the liability at the end of that? So they're going to look and see if they can come up with the fiscal note. Another question that was really asked, and Commissioner Tony has alluded to, why are you calling this a fee when indeed it's a tax? I made the point that way back then we had a debate with the governor's office that the tax, anytime you get into somebody's pocket, that's money taken away from them. So call it a tax, call it a fee, but what that is a fee. You're able to create so many silos to get around paper reporting purposes. So the House Bill 251040 is a bipartisan bill to add nuclear energy, which is really good. I really like this opportunity. Nuclear energy as a clean energy resource. Our own representative, Ty Winter, is supportive of nuclear energy. There is a lot of information that's going to be coming out. But two recruiting subjects bring out, of course, is going to be happening. No doubt that we're going to be seeing a lot of bills introduced with the Second Amendment. And so this is going to be a very interesting session. And the one of the things that we need to keep on looking at is the opportunity to provide testimony from our county. And we have our commissioner-elect, Robert Lucero, who has served as the land use director. We appreciate your knowledge, sir. And as this information comes forward, definitely we're going to be leaning on you to go through and provide some of these testimonies based upon that. Had an opportunity to attend on the 16th, the Behavioral Health Advisory Council. A lot of things, we know that through opioids, alcohol usage, and there are so many challenges throughout the state of Colorado that behavioral health is going to be one of those things that we'll continue to talk about. My comment will continue to be, show me the money, bring the services to Las Animas County, and the agro, there is a term that they used, agro stressors. The agricultural community is going through so many stressors that it is incredible to see what they're going through. So we want those services coming to counties like ours. On the 16th, I had an opportunity to attend a national conference, a National Association of Hispanic County Commissioners. And this is going to be it was the preamble for us to get a little gathering in Washington, D.C. at the National Association of Counties. So we'll see what happens. It was more of an information introduction and what states are doing what from land use to wildland, urban interface to you name it. So I'm looking forward to meeting with some of these peers at the national level and see what happens. One of my closing points here, there was communication, and I don't want to over exaggerate or aggrandize the statement, but apparently the wolves that have been brought to the state of Colorado are already here. I'm not sure what counties they're in. Initially, we couldn't get any information, but the voters said yes, and the governor is complying with the law. So from that perspective, but we have to keep we have to keep track and see that the health of agriculture is not going to be impacted by the introduction of more wolves. And that's going to be my report. Thank you, commissioners. We're going to go at this point in time to elected officials and staff updates. Mr. Doran Camp, do we have a Mr. Oroma someplace?
Mr. Dominguez apparently is unable to attend, sir. He asked me to put it on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I have here a message. Anybody from the assessor's office? Anyone from the clerk and recorder's office? Our treasurer? The sheriff basically said he said doesn't have any updates. The DA and the court. So, Mr. Dominguez, you said he's not going to be able to be here, sir?
Apparently not, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much. And for clarification, the counties, as I made my comment, thank you, Commissioner Haas, the counties that have received the wolves are Pickens County, Gunnison County, and Eagle County. Those are the counties that, of course, the wolves will travel throughout the rest of the state. Presentations this morning, we have presentations from SCED. Do we have Dr. Lisa Slaughterhouse?
We have Leslie Masterodi for stay, okay. I say.
Okay. Any representatives from SCED? Good morning. How are
good
you,
good morning.
Leslie?
Well, my toes are starting to thaw out. I walk to work, so by the time I get here, I'm an icicle, but I won't complain. It could be worse. Could be worse.
Well, Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. And thank you for indulging me and letting me give a little bit of a SCED update. Lisa, I believe, is going to attend the work session, and she has some other items that she's going to share, but I'll do some higher level things. First of all, I'll start with broadband. My favorite, I always like to start my week out with broadband, but an update on the capital projects fund that was funded by CBO on Highway 12. Our CCOM is working on some poll data acquisition and engineering for the 512 poles that span the route from San Isabel Electric splice case near Burrow Canyon, near Coakdale, to the splice case on existing CCOM fiber cable in Valdez. In other words, we're still doing some design, engineering, pre-engineering, getting the poles, making sure that they have the appropriate integrity to support the fiber that we're going to install. As a reminder, and for Commissioner Lucero, who's probably going, what in the world is she talking about? But you'll catch up. It'll be okay. Los Animas County is the beneficiary of Capital Projects Broadband Fund. And this was funded federally through ARPA funds. And then our COVID relief funds, and were passed down to the state and administered by the Colorado Broadband Office. And through this fund, we will serve 385 addresses along Highway 12. The total project is almost $4.5 million. The grant award was almost $3.4 million. From CBO. And then those funds were matched with a little over $1 million. And that match was provided by CCOM. I can't stress enough how generous they were in providing those matching funds, because I don't have $1 million to put toward a project. So,
let me ask you there. The Congressional Budget Office is basically providing the $3.5 million. But what about the Colorado Broadband Office? I know they were looking to partner with counties and local municipalities to get these projects. What happened with any match from them? Are there any funds on this project that came directly from Colorado?
No, only the grant funds. CBO did provide, and I won't say it, they had an allowance where we could get a match waiver if necessary. And so that was their contribution toward match. We were fortunate that we didn't have to ask for a match waiver, that CCOM was able to make up that match difference. If I remember correctly, with the CBO, if we asked for a match waiver, it was a little bit of a ding when it came to total scoring. So the CBO was really pushing to have a true public-private partnership. And so I believe that's why we scored so highly, was because we did have those private dollars from CCOM that were considered as match. Plus, it was a good project. And we won.
A follow-up question on that, since Los Angeles County is still part of the county's rural/frontier portion, does the underserved segment provide any, if you will, additional points? And what other parts of the county are eligible for additional grants?
Oh, you would ask me that. I know a lot off the top of my head, but that is not one of them. I do know that with CPF, the only addresses of those 385 addresses along Highway 12, those were all unserved or underserved. So if someone did have adequate, according to the definition, if they had internet service, we couldn't serve them through the CPF funds. I'm trying to now visualize the map. I think there are sections, like I believe Trinidad is served very well. So that isn't a focus area of ours. I know CCOM is doing a lot of work on their own without the benefit of grant funding, and I want to say that's in Aguilar, in the communities, which for an ISP, that's low hanging fruit for them, because they're going to get the subscribers to make up that capital investment on the part of the ISP. What's problematic for ISPs and for counties, for everyone, are those more rural areas that it's just not cost effective for an ISP to provide fiber to those addresses. And it's even more complicated when you look at the terrain. For example, Otero County, you know, it's relatively flat. It's easier to run fiber along existing poles. It's much easier than it is when you get into the more mountainous terrain where you have your valleys getting line of sight. So the costs are a little bit more when we look at the more difficult terrains, which leads me to BEAD. BEAD is part of the IIJA push to get broadband funds out to those high cost areas. And we submitted, oh my goodness, we submitted six applications through BEAD. And I sent you an email that you should have received maybe Friday. You probably got two because I screwed the first one up. Surprise. But with BEAD, the focus with BEAD wasn't so much serving those underserved, unserved. It was more, how do we get it out to those high-cost areas? How do we reach those more rural spots? And that was the emphasis on BEAD, to try and pick up those others.
So would they be entertaining towers in those areas, CECOM towers, possibly? If it's too costly to put your cable in, then possibly towers would be the next route, correct?
Yes, and BEAD had, it's always interesting to see how things shift, priorities shift. With BEAD, the emphasis was on fiber, because fiber is the preferred method of transmission. However, there will be another round of BEAD. We're calling it BEAD 2.0. I don't know if that's that's what we call it, where we can use some alternative technologies such as wireless, honing in on those cell towers. And so we're looking, as a matter of fact, I have a meeting with CECOM this afternoon, and we're going to see, okay, now how do we get even further by using some alternative technologies. And I believe the low orbit satellite will be included in those. So we'll be able to hopefully expand our reach even further.
That'd be good, because about half of the constituents live out there in the Kim and Branson area, and yes, little or no service. Yeah.
I know a dream of CECOM's and is to create, I'm going to get my geography messed up, but I know they want to create a transmission method somehow through the Kim and Branson areas. We talk about this ad nauseum. And there will be some additional funds through the Colorado Broadband Office, and they'll be state dollars. And those will address middle mile and will allow us to, in a more cost-effective manner, run those transmission lines through those very rural areas. And Branson and Kim are on our radar, most definitely.
Good.
So, Leslie, without I know this is probably what your team is going to do in partnership with CECOM. When the final grant report goes through, I like you all to work with the Office of Broadband State of Colorado, so they can update the map. You're talking about 385 residences that now are going to be service benefactors. That's really going to be good. And then have them update also the map that is at the national level. What a great opportunity to tell them. Now, when we go to BEAD, one of the points that I also, that was allocated $42.5 billion. $42.5 billion. For all 50 states, one of the whatever we need to do, and however we as a county, now that we're a member of SCED, I'm really at the point in perspective, let us continue to partner and help you. And if we need to be the voice, if you will, at the state legislature at any point in time, even with the federal congressional delegation, we'll be more than glad to do so, because I don't know the $42.5 billion, how much money is still there. I know the timelines and the deadlines are probably coming upon us, but nonetheless, let's light up as many residents as we can.
And that was key with our BEAD applications, where I think that's why we were so successful, is our community involvement and the dedication to our elected officials, to, you know, in recognizing how important broadband is to our region. And so credit goes to you guys, because you were involved, you asked questions, you want broadband, And so I will most definitely, I'll let you know when I need your help. Because that yes, the squeaky wheel does get the grease. And that's kind of been my, for the last 3 years, is, hey, we're here in Southern Colorado, and we deserve what there is to offer just as much as the Front Range, the Western Slope, and other areas of the state. And I think we've been pretty effective at doing that, ringing the bell or squeaking.
Well, thank you. And I hope that you're all going to do a press release.
Yes.
Highlighting the accomplishment and the achievement of bringing these families online. That would be awesome. Communities need to know that there's public-private partnerships working on their behalf.
Mm-hmm. I think with CPF, we'll do something big and splashy once our pre-engineering is done and we're actually, installing line and getting houses lit up. We'll most definitely, we'll wave our flag and say, see what we did. So, and we'll keep moving. There's still a lot of work to do. So, so broadband, SCED in general, every year I present a work plan to our board of directors, and our first meeting for the new year is in March. So you guys are getting a sneak preview, even though it isn't a sneak preview because it's basically the same as it was last year. We have four focus areas for SCED. One is broadband, which I covered as far as Los Angeles County. We also have a focus on small business development. And right now, under that initiative, we've introduced a pilot program called Scale Up. And that is a program that works with existing small businesses who have been in business, have gone through the startup process, but are looking to grow or solidify their sustainability. And so, typically in business for a year-ish to five, and we're working with those small businesses to really, really dive in there and identify some problems that they've encountered since they started up. It's like, oh, now I know what it's all about. And so we're working with them on that. We received some seed money from Rural Development, and so we are just now kicking that program off. And of course, any small businesses in Los Angeles County are more than welcome to reach out and see if they're eligible to participate in that program. We have, for the last year, we've been holding business resource fairs, which is an opportunity for anyone who is interested in starting a business, currently has a business, or are just curious, they can attend and get some information on resources that are available. We have subject matter experts that have tables or little presentation areas ranging from HR, legal, marketing, accounting. We have lenders, SBA 504 lenders that are there. And we do have one planned this year for it to take place in Trinidad. Can't tell you when it is, though, as we're just now firming up our schedules, but we'll let you know when we have that scheduled. I'm looking forward to that one. The third focus area is workforce development. And that's something we do participate. We're a member of the Colorado Broadband Office Workforce Development Committee, which is, I can't remember the exact number of contractors that are going to be needed or workers in the telecommunications field with these billions, millions of dollars that are flowing into our state. Where are we going to get our workers? And so we're working on an initiative to do some training to get those people, you know, in a career field working in the construction realm. We will be working with, we have ideas brewing, we will be working with Trinidad State and using their, you know, the education component. Maybe CSU, maybe the Cooperative Extension Services, but we do know we'll be working with the community colleges and the community college system on providing that training. So that's a to be announced thing, but we'll keep you updated. And then the fourth area of focus, actually there might be four and a half. Our fourth area is to continue to provide services to our member counties, and that would involve grant writing, which we do at no cost to the county. So if you see, you know, grant opportunity and it's like, let us know and we'll take a look at it and see if it's something that's a good fit, and then we'll write the application for you. And then we also do grant administration. So if there's particularly federal grants are kind of a heavy lift, and so we can provide some expertise to help with that lift. And encompassing all that is we do provide technical assistance. So if, again, if there's an opportunity or if there's a, just call us and we'll give you either our professional opinion or connect you with someone who is more appropriate to help you with that problem.
So I do have a question on that, if I
sure.
may.
On, yeah.
on the grant writing assistance, does that have to be technology related grants or any grant in general?
Anything in general. We've done, geez Louise, we've done everything from soup to nuts. So it does not have to be broadband related.
We'll fall someplace between soup and nuts. I know we'll definitely keep you in mind. But the question also on the grant administration, do you have an indirect cost recovery if you provide those services, even though we are going to be service members? What is that ICR percentage or a flat fee?
It depends.
Okay.
If we write the application and you want us to administer it, then we can build in admin dollars. We have Huerfano County has an EDA grant that we wrote for them, and we administer it, and we built those dollars into it. So it's kind of a flat fee at that point. But then again, also Huerfano County, they use us to death, I'm telling you. Got a call from Carl a couple weeks ago, and they have a grant that's just, it's big enough to be annoying, small enough where it's just annoying. So he said, would you want to administer this? And so we're doing that on a hourly basis. And we're pretty flexible. You know, we just want to be there to help. That's really what we want to do. And we do give you benefit of, you know, the fact that you are members. And we take that into consideration as well. Our last thing, which is a biggie, that's our half thing, is the SEDS, the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. Is really the kind of our foundation of SCED. As an EDD, we are charged by EDA. I'm sorry, Commissioner Lucero, you're just going to, we have been charged, as an economic development district, we have been charged by the Economic Development Administration, federal, to help guide the development of a SEDS. And that is That is a biggie. It's a huge planning tool that's used by everyone. Everyone can access the existing SEDS. It's on our website, or if you ask, I can send you all 400 and some pages. But that's a tool that's used by everyone, whether it's education, government, healthcare, emergency management. You can pull that planning document out, and it kind of helps, it will help steer you for the next several years. The SEDS is good for 5 years, and we're now in our next one is due in 2026. But with a 13 county region, we will be working quite steadily on that throughout the course of the year. And we will be asking for your involvement, because it's your document too. And you know what the unique circumstances are in your particular county. And so we really, really value your input and your participation in the SEDS. So there will definitely be more to come on that one, where you'll get an email from me and roll your eyes. And then,
So, Leslie, on that comprehensive development strategy that you are speaking of, it's going to be county-based, but when you bring it as a region, you'll have all the, it's kind of a SWOT analysis at the end of it.
Yes.
By region. Okay, all right.
Yes. So we can, for some of the initiatives that we take on, like Scale Up, it's a regional program. And that's primarily what SCED does, our regional projects, if we're going to take on a project. So we look at this, at the SEDS from a regional viewpoint. However, you as a county will be able to look at the SEDS and really hone in on you, on Los Angeles County. If you want to see what your neighboring counties are up to, then you can look at their stuff too, but there will be well-defined action plans for Los Angeles County. There will be data there that applies to Los Angeles County. So it's a comprehensive economic development strategy, which is why we're starting now, because it's a heavy lift with as many counties as we have.
And I wonder if Council of Governments, and I see Mr. Blasi is joining us, and I'll follow up with them, but I wonder if they have this SEDS document, because they collect a lot of that information. And are you working as well with all the Council of Governments?
We have four Councils of Government within our economic development district. And our charge, if you will, is different. We're more high-level planning, but we support the efforts of our councils of government. And we work closely with our councils of government as we develop the SEDS. So we work with individual county economic developers. We work with our councils of government and our elected officials, and our board reps are also part of the SEDS planning process. So yes, we do work with our councils of government and other economic development practitioners in the area. And they don't have a SEDS. Only, I should probably back up a step, only economic development districts have a SEDS, compile the SEDS. It's not just ours that we share. The benefit of the SEDS is when in a grant application, you can say, yes, we have this in our SEDS, and funders know what the SEDS is. And sometimes that's a requirement in order to get funding. Conversely, it may not even be funding related. It may be a lobbying thing. If you're talking to a state or federal legislator, you can point to our SED or our SEDs and say, it says here, we did a comprehensive economic development strategy, and it says in here that this is what we need. This reinforces what I'm telling you or what I'm asking you for. So it can be a very powerful tool. And I hope others recognize that.
And that's a living document, because that is, you're telling the concise story of what we're doing currently or what we have done in the last 12 months. And then in 12 months, that
yes.
Plan.
Yes. And we do, as part of the SEDS, we create an action plan, if you will. This is where we want to be. This is what we need. These are our needs. And of course, as we, it's kind of like the census. You know, you have your hard data. It's good for about 2 years, and then it starts to get old. Same with the SEDS. And so we're constantly, as I have a staff member sitting beside me rolling her eyes, oh yeah, we're constantly going back and revisiting those strategies and those action plans and saying, okay, now where are we at? What do we need to build on? So it is a living document.
Well, Leslie, we want to thank you. Commissioners, do you have any additional questions for SCED representative? Looking forward to working with you. And as you're, I'm really interested in seeing the report of those 385 residences that are going to be impacted. I think the state, we can tell them a story that
yes.
It could happen in Frontier County. So thank you for your presentation, and you're welcome to come back anytime.
Thank you very much. And back at you, if you ever have any questions or if you have a thought, if you think it just, I'm always available. So feel free to reach out.
Thank you. Thank you. You have a great day. Stay warm.
You too.
Next, we're going to go to Mr. Richards. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, commissioners. Good morning, board members. Commissioner Sarah, congratulations and welcome. Just a side note, the board always says yes to me and never asks me any hard questions. So we'll just lay the groundwork for that right now. I come to you this morning. We have a couple of grant requests coming up, and I wanted to get your blessing on them as we go forward. I got a call from Matt West, the mitigation planning supervisor for the state, emergency Homeland Security, emergency management, and saying that there's a shortage of funds coming up. They're looking for ahead with all the issues in Florida, North Carolina, and now the fires in California, funds are going to start drying up. So what they've done, he called me and asked me if he'd be willing to apply for a grant now for our hazard mitigation plan, which isn't due to 2027, the end of 27, maybe beginning of 28.
So that's a placeholder.
So we can pay it forward kind of thing and get that grant going. I sent him a letter saying yes, but I took it to our county administrator and went to bring it before the board to say, to get your blessing on it. Finance director is blessed it also, I think. And so the money, we don't have to spend the money right away, but it's probably, it's an update. So I'm not really sure. He's going to send me the data. I don't have the grant information yet. As soon as I get that, I'll share it. But I don't have that information yet. I think the original, do you remember, Christy, what we spent on the hazard mitigation plan? I think I want to say it was 60,000 or something like that. We had a higher, I think. And the upside of that, though, I believe a lot of the conclusions in the hazard mitigation plan that we passed in 22, I just came on board. I think some of the conclusions are not right. This is a global 30,000 foot loop, all the hazards that are available in Los Angeles County, like floods, you know, tornadoes, just not fires. So we did talk about our CWPP grant that we haven't got it yet, but we're going to be awarded that we would integrate that into the hazard mitigation plan. He thought that was a great idea. So with that being said, that was one of the grant requests I was going to put before you this morning and make sure it was okay to proceed with that.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. And I have an easy question for you. What is the amount?
I don't know yet because I have to get the paperwork from the state. It's just an update, so I'm not sure what it would be. I'm guessing $50,000 to put a number, to pull a number out of the air to update that, because something has to be rebuilt. Because I don't think the conclusions were correct.
And is there a match required?
There is not. It was 100% grant the last time. Again, I don't have the paperwork, so I can't attest to that clearly. But that seems to be the indication. It's going to be 100% grant.
And is that a one time that you understand?
It has to be done. This is a requirement by the state from the feds, and so they're required to do it. And they're requiring us to do it. If we don't do it now, then we may have to do it out of our own pocket. So I think we should take advantage of the grant request at this time. Even if it's a matching of some sort, it's better than paying the whole thing, in my two cents.
Well, you know, it never hurts to apply for free money.
Yes.
And all hazards, I'd be interested in seeing what the dictionary of terms that they might have from the federal to the state back to us, hazard.
Well, we have the 2022 Hazard Mitigation Plan, which is complete. I sent a copy of that to everyone. That's, if you need it, again, let me know. I'll send it again.
Very good.
And I might. This way you can update yourself on what it's all about. It's pretty much it's a few hundred pages. I mean, it's a big document, but it addresses everything. Like I said, some of the conclusions, I think, like our fire exposure, I don't think is correct in percentages and things like that. So it's a chance to bring this document up to date, and it'll help us with our CWPP grant, which is 100% grant.
Sure. Well, I want to, you know, first of all, thank you, and keep an eye on any and all opportunities that our county might be interested in. As you heard, now SCED is also providing some support.
Yes.
In the event that we need to do some research. I was very interested on the last portion of it, the comprehensive development strategy that she spoke about.
Yes.
That tells us that could even be in particular to hazard mitigation within the county.
Yes, sir.
Yep. So
yes, sir. That ties together.
Yeah, it does. It does. So, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was going to say. Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead.
I would say, so we actually, I think we hired like JEO consultants. Do you think go with the same company since they created the original and they're just going to update it? Or for policy, do we have to actually bid it out?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer until I get the documents from the state yet. I would imagine if it's an update, we could probably use the same consultant. But if we want to make some major changes, maybe not. So
that's a good point.
Yeah, it's a good we had same. We looked up as that JEO consulting that we had actually.
That would make it easier, honestly.
Since they have
yes.
Were they responsible for the not correct part of what you're saying?
Well, it's a conclusion thing. I don't know. They were fed information, and I don't know how I got that when I first came to work here, so I apologize. I should be more involved with that, but I will learn.
Commissioners, I did take the liberty of telling Mr. Richards to go ahead and pursue the grant, so this isn't an item for consideration.
No.
I asked him to update you.
Absolutely, no.
Since it's required for us to update the plan, for Mr. Richard to pursue.
Point well taken, Mr. Dornkamp. I think I don't see any personally, now that we're going to take a vote here, but I think we can have this for consideration at the next meeting as a line item. So certainly you have the time, and
yes,
at the very next meeting, we can actually revisit this. But I really see nothing but positive outcome out of this whole thing.
I asked him to send the paperwork, so we should get that here shortly, hopefully, before the next meeting.
Thank you.
The other issue, there's another grant coming up. It's a Homeland Security grant. It's 100% grant, and it has to do mostly with it originally was voting. Again, I don't have the documentation yet. I'm trying to get ahead of these things. And what it is, 100% grant, you to the something either the related to voting or some kind of security or equipment that we can share with other counties in an emergency. So one of the counties didn't qualify for this grant. It's about $270,000 as far as I know. Again, don't have the paperwork yet. I'm trying to get ahead of these things. And what we're going to do is put a few requests together. One, the sheriff wants to upgrade the metal detector and the x-ray machine downstairs and make it some kind of enclosure to give the deputy down there some protection. That's one. Then we're going to look at a couple others. We try and get three or four together to see what sticks. Then what we do is we present them, and then the five counties in the South region vote on those things that are submitted, and we decide who gets what and when. For our example, our cyber grant we got, which we just finishing up, that was 100% grant, and everybody voted on it. We did get that. So this is going to be a similar grant. It's 100%. We have to put the money out first. So again, it's just it's a consideration to have. I've talked to our finance director about it, and so they're aware. The upside is we don't have to spend it today. We have a little bit of time to spend it, so we can plan accordingly.
Yeah, and those projects usually, I mean, they brought down. I don't see any complexity there.
No, like the cyber grant we have, we still have 3,300 left in it. Now, I think we have 2026,
I think. Yeah,
but we do have a balance, and I'm tracking that. So okay. We are one of this other one on the same.
Yes. Okay.
And Mr. Dorenkamp?
No comment.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions for Mr. Richards?
No.
Well, thank you. Hey, you keep digging. You know, you see that rainbow? I know there's money there, so keep...
We rattle the cages.
Absolutely. And thank you so much.
They're calling us now. So.
All right. Very good. All right. On that note, Mr. Dorenkamp, I think we can put a line item for the next board meeting.
Okay.
Going to go to section six, public comment. We have the town of Aguilar that has signed up for public comment. Do we have anyone from the town of Aguilar? Or anyone, any other individual that wishes to address the Board of County Commissioners at this time, please, that you're online, raise your hand, unmute yourself. You would have 3 minutes to address the board. Hearing that, we're going to go down to section. We don't have anything on section seven, public hearing. Section eight, unfinished business, none. We're going to go to section nine, new business. 9A, election of a chairman of the Board of County Commissioners for fiscal year or calendar year, or both, 2025.
You entertaining a motion?
I am entertaining a motion. I was gonna actually step down and make a motion as well, Commissioner, but go ahead.
I like what you've done. You've done a fantastic job leading this Board of County Commissioners the last few years, and I would really like for you to retain that position. And I would make that motion.
One second.
The train went through.
Commissioner Lucero?
Yes.
Commissioner Hatch?
Yes.
Well, thank you, commissioners. Thank you for the confidence, and it's great to be part of this team. 9B, election of a chairman pro tem of the Board of County Commissioners.
I will make the motion that Commissioner Tony has been elected Chairman Pro Tem of the Board of County Commissioners.
And at this time, I will step down as the Chairman of the Board, and I will second that motion.
Thank you, guys.
Commissioner Lopez?
Sir, yes.
Commissioner, sir?
Yes.
Consideration of SCEP representation appointment. Once again, now that we're voting members on that, I think that's going to be a very imperative and important position for us to have. So there is a position open to serve on the SCED board.
And what do you think, Bobby? Would you like this? Mr. Lucero, would you like this?
Just based on the presentation, I'd like to have a little more time before I jump in there. So I would probably pass on it this time.
And you, Mr. Lopez?
I would be willing to take that, sir.
I would make that motion. Commissioner Lopez, to fill that appointment for SCID.
I will second that.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Thank you, commissioners. I think we have a great opportunity of researching grants on this particular one. Consideration of Otero Partners Incorporated, once again, representing the board on that appointment. And that is kind of every now and again. It is, I believe, Mr. Lucero, that would be one board that you may be interested
in. I've worked with them before.
Okay.
I would move that we put Commissioner Lucero into the to represent Los Angeles County on the OPI board.
And I will second that motion.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Consideration of a Trinidad Urban Renewal Authority representative on their board. I'm going to make a comment, and since Mr. Lucero, that has to do with a lot of the land use, I think you would be a good representative from Los Angeles County to that board, sir.
We find that.
Very good. Then I'll step down and I'll make that motion to nominate Mr. Lucero for the Tura board.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you.
Commissioners, if I may, Commissioner Lucero, I believe I included an application form in the packet, so you can fill that one out. I think I may have a digital copy too, if you prefer that.
For the Tura?
Yes, it's a citizen application.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you. 9F, consideration of 2025 routine waste disposal bid. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, Administrative Assistant Paula Nacero for a second time advertised bids for waste disposal for Los Angeles County. And I called the one vendor that I knew about prior to the opening. They told us that they would get us the bid submission prior to the deadline. That did not happen. But as far as we can determine, they are the only waste disposal company serving the Trinidad area. So that being said, I don't know if the board, and this would be a question for council, if the board could go ahead and approve their bid based upon sole source, although they didn't. They emailed their submittal, which our bid docs required a hand delivery, and they didn't, and the deadline was 10 o'clock, I think, last Friday, and I believe we ended up getting an email, I don't know, 11, 12, 1 in the afternoon. I believe they sent it to Finance Director Corbett. So,
well, that's going to be the, perhaps, I'm not sure that we can ask for legal. At this time, let's do the following.
Or we can rebid.
Well, let's do one thing, Mr. Dorenkamp, before we rescind the entire offer. Let's table this item. I make a recommendation to table the item and then bring it over, transfer that to executive session, as we will be adding on that to the rest of the executive items. And then if the board agrees at that point in time, we'll come up and we'll make a recommendation and a decision whether we rebid, we award, or whatever the necessary step is. So at this time, two things. I'll entertain a motion to lay this item on the table and transfer over to executive session.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Searle?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Consideration of unleaded fuel bid, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, solicited bids for the delivery of approximately 8,000 gallons of unleaded fuel to our fuel farm at the fairgrounds with the following results. Acorn Petroleum, 2.29 gallons, $2.29 per gallon. Extended price, $18,320. World Fuel, $2.3036 per gallon. Extended price, $18,482.80. Lahana Valley, no bid. Wallace, no bid. So I'd ask the board to approve Acorn Petroleum's bid of $2.29 per gallon, extended price $18,320.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any questions from Mr. Dorenkamp? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we approve Acorn bid for fuel.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. 9H, consideration of the fourth quarter public trustee report. Pretty much self-explanatory of that. We do have, I believe, someone from the treasurer's office. In case there's any questions, we have Ms. Leonetti.
Yes, I am here.
Ms. Leonetti, good morning. Any additional information that you would like to provide to the board?
The only difference is they finally raised our fees as of July 1st, so you can see a little bit of increase in my fees, which is good for the county.
Very good. And when you say they increase, who is a they, Ms. Leonetti?
The state of Colorado.
Thank you so much. Just for the record, those purposes, commissioners, any other questions for Ms. Lucero, Ms. Leonetti?
No.
No questions. Pardon that. I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the fourth quarter public trustee report.
I second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hatch?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Thank you, Ms. Leonetti. Yes.
Thank you.
Consideration of the Branson Division of Reclamation Mining and Safety Annual Report, Map and Fee. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, before you, for your consideration, is our annual submittal to the state for the Branson Pit. It's a 112 pit, which the fee is $791 plus. Since we pay it via credit card, there'll be a credit card fee on top of it also. Pretty much standard white like we do every year for all of our gravel pits.
And it is a good point. Early on, we had asked if governmental agencies, if there was a way to waive that credit card fee. And I don't know if that is standard applied to all merchants. And I know that the credit card fee is minimal, 1 or 2%, but nonetheless, depending on the dollar amount that that we pay, that comes back to the county.
No, it's for the state. That's the state.
Oh, the state.
That's what we pay for, and that's a state fee.
Okay.
So that they charge the customer and they keep the money. The county not involved.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, because they actually, you know, we're using it, but the state is actually collecting the fee.
Very good.
Sorry, Jennifer.
No, that's fine. Thank you. That's I appreciate that. Commissioners, any additional questions on that? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that Branson Pit Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety Annual Report, Map, and Fee be approved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Consideration of Perry Stokes Pavement Maintenance Grant Application. Back to you, sir.
Commissioner, before you, for your consideration, is our FAA grant application for pavement maintenance project at our Perry Stokes Airport for a fog seal and some runway and taxiway striping, remarking, I guess is what they call it.
Any questions for Mr. Dorenkamp?
I guess I have one. Because the county airport is currently under, we're leasing it?
We're leasing the operations of it to an FBO, a fixed-based operator.
So this has nothing, the maintenance, pavement maintenance is still the county?
Pavement maintenance, any type of improvements on the runways, the taxiways, the buildings, the hangars. Okay. Yeah, I can send you a copy of the lease. I apologize for not getting that done before this.
Thank you, Mr. Lucero. Any other questions? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the Perry Stokes Pavement Maintenance Grant application.
A second.
Mr. Lucero?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez.
Yes. 9K, consideration of OBCC number 7027, a treasurer transfer of funds to the county general in the amount of $8,765,170.17. And any questions, please send them over to Finance Director Coburn.
You know, every year I move them from the sub accounts to the general fund. I do the same thing for Odom Bridge. That's what's happening here.
Yes. And historically, we remember it's there yet. Any questions for Finance Director Coverly?
You moved that from Road Bridge to the General Fund?
Never. I hope we get eaten alive. That was a Dutch Road Bridge.
All right. Hearing no other conversation, I will entertain a motion.
I move that OBCC number 7027. Treasurer transfer of funds to county general in the amount of $8,765,170.17.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lucero?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Consideration 9L, consideration of OBCC number 7028, a treasurer transfer of funds
from
Roden Bridge in the amount of $3,762,744.89. And I think it's going to be pretty much Finance Director Coverly, the same perspective.
Correct. Yeah. You know, I'm moving it to like the highway user tax, the mineral lease state,
yes.
Everything. I'm moving that to the actual Road and Bridge Fund.
Yes. Mr. Dornkamp, do you have any questions?
No, sir. We're good.
Commissioners, any discussion on that? Hearing that, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve OBCC number 7028, a treasurer transfer fund to Road and Bridge in the amount of $3,762,744.89.
I second that.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. 9M, consideration of HVAC upgrade certificate of completion. Mr. Dornkamp?
Commissioners, I believe with our HVAC project here at the courthouse, we're at a point where we are, I think it's at a point where we can go ahead and certify the completion of the project. There's still a couple of things that are going on. I got some feedback. I asked for feedback from everyone within the courthouse as far as anything that wasn't working properly. And I believe they got our corner of the courthouse where heat is now coming through the cabinets, through the cabinets. And I think the only other thing was there are some private restrooms, for lack of describing it any better, that are needing heaters. And I talked with Millie, I believe it was Friday. They are still in the process of getting those bathrooms heated. They weren't part of the project itself. These will be, a change order and add-on. And then in the maintenance room, there was a fan was making some noise, but Millick was aware of that also. Apparently, their HVAC contractor was checking the heat coming out each one of the units, out of each one of the cabinets. They had a probe on a thermometer. Put the probe in too far and it hit the fan. So the new fan has been ordered. It's on its way. So otherwise than that, I have not heard anything from any of the other offices. I did remind Millig that come summertime, we will be testing the air conditioning portions of these units. And they said that our one-year guarantee will still be in place at that time. So if there's issues with that, they'll come back. Although they did test the AC, I believe it was in November. And at that time, they said that there weren't any problems. But again, problems creep up as these facilities, as these units get up and running. Because before we went on break for Thanksgiving, my heater and my office were working great, come back after Thanksgiving and started working, I think, a week or two ago finally. So.
Okay.
Long story, to just ask you, go ahead and prove this.
No, just a couple of follow-up questions. when you go through the punch list, elevator properly working, that's part of this whole project or the HVAC alone?
HVAC alone. The elevator is a different project that won't be taking place until they get the replacement parts in. They being the contractor, which they thought would be in spring. Frankly, that was a whole other fiasco because when we talked to them back this summer, we told them we wanted to start on, going off on a tangent, we wanted to start on the elevator project just after the elections because Clerk of the Quarter,
accessibility,
election officers wanted to make sure that access by our disabled community was available for them to get to the election and polling places, but that didn't happen. So the parts have been ordered. And the last I heard from them, the flag was going to be in spring. So no, that's a complete separate project.
Do we have, when you do the walkthrough to sign this up, I mean, with the courts as well?
We went through the walkthrough, I think last week or the week before, had courts involved, had each one of the offices involved as we went through each one of the offices.
Okay. Then my other question on the, you mentioned that there was one bathroom that was not
there. There are some, I guess I call them private bathrooms in some of the elected officials' offices.
Oh.
And they weren't heated. At least one wasn't heated. So Milliger's working to get those, and I say those because I don't know how many of the other private bathrooms aren't heated, but to get those bathrooms heated.
Okay. And so how much are we retaining from the total project? Is that the entire punch list and it totally is accepted, all the funds are going to be released?
We still owe them $314,000.
Okay, very good.
I directed Finance Director Cobley to not pay another dime until everything in this courthouse was running properly, and she did that. And so now we can pay everything except the 5%. We'll retain 5% until we get the advertising done that we are at a point of completion for, I think, 10 days, if I recall correctly. So
are the solar panels?
Solar panels are actually working. I can forward you a link that was forwarded to me from our IT person, Hayden. You can actually see the power that's generated.
I would like to do one thing. Let's also be cognizant. I'd like to have an open house, kind of once the project's completely done, invite the previous board they initially had, and then of course Commissioner Luis, former Commissioner Luis Lopez as well. I'd like us to let the community know what happened, and then, but more than anything else, I think what we need to highlight and underline is how much are we going to be saving with this new project in utilities versus what we had in the past. I think that's going to be the telling point, specifically with the solar panels. And hopefully, I'd like us to, there's enough space up there to go from 25 kW to increase that later on as the politics of this conversation loosen up a little bit.
And the savings on long underwear, you know, and this is going to be excellent.
Who's tracking you? The savings,
who
tracks
them? They have to do. It is, doesn't the contractor do a performance of measure? I forget the actual term.
A measurement verification.
Yeah, measure verification.
I was just wondering, is that coming from, is it called ARPA? Who we're getting the solar from? Or is it actually milling? I was just wondering who's tracking it. That
the general contractor, it was my understanding that they were going to be tracking the savings. But anyway, as you go through the process, remind them of that we want to have. I know we had a project in my previous life, and one of the things that we did for 12 months, we had that measure of verification, and every month we take a look at it. Oh yeah, this we're saving X number of dollars. More so with the solar panels. I mean, I think we have 25 kW. I mean, that's quite a bit of power. All right?
I want to ask Bill, so is general maintenance going to do the cleanup after they're through, like the different types of the old thermostat is still hanging on the wall in there.
I wasn't aware of that, Commissioner. No,
and they took the phone cables loose so they could get the piping behind, and the cables are still hanging loose. A trip hazard.
Mr. Dornkamp was going to request that member of our next staff meeting to have Krista, Kenny, and Hayden member walk each room and start doing like a rotation for each year. Can anybody talk to you about that? But I'll talk to you and to open our staff meeting on the 3rd about seeing about them going to each room.
Okay. Like setting up a rotation. We can do it, but if we do that, then I would sure want to invite Millick so we don't lose anything in translation. Sure. We walked all sure. the swamps already.
That's a good point.
I'll talk with Millick then.
Yeah, I didn't know whether the onus was on them or on our maintenance.
No, if it had anything to do with the HVAC system, including new thermostats, those should have been removed when the new thermostat, the old thermostat should have been removed.
Well, during break, I'll show you.
Okay, yeah, because we didn't have old thermostats. Anyway, show me what, yeah.
Okay. All right.
But the certificate of completion, you can go ahead and approve that. We'll hold on to $300,000 until everything's taken care of. And we'll do our final advertisement once everything's taken care of.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the HVAC upgrade certificate of completion.
Second.
Mr. Serra?
Yes.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. 9N, consideration of Southeast Colorado Representative, Region 19 Representative appointments.
I would, you've done a fine job there, and for somebody to jump in there at this stage of the game without the knowledge that you've acquired, and having been the chair, Mr. Lopez, and your knowledge of what's going on in CCOR, I would make the motion to retain in that position.
I will second.
Commissioner Serra?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Thank you, Commissioners. And on the same note, backup for that, an alternate, I would like to step down as a chair and make a motion that I would like Commissioner Tony Haas to continue in the event that I'm not available to fill the role of an alternate.
I will second that.
Commissioner Serra?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. And thank you. I want to thank council consideration on this resolution 25-010 per diem rates. This has been something that keeps coming back. And thank you for looking into this. And Finance Director Coverly and all of you that worked on this particular resolution. It is apparently we haven't had an opportunity to review this since a couple of years ago, but thank you for all the hard work that you put into this. So Mr. Dornkamp, would you please read the resolution?
Resolution of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, establishing per diem travel and mileage rates for January 1, 2025 through September 30, 2025. Resolution 25-010, whereas Los Angeles County has adopted and enforces policies and guidelines, governance personnel, and setting out rules and procedures for employee conduct and performance of their respective duties as set forth within the Los Angeles County Handbook, and from time to time, elected officials and employees are required to travel outside Los Angeles County to performance of their duties and related functions of their respective positions or job descriptions. The Los Angeles County Handbook allows for per diem travel and mileage payments and reimbursements as set out by county resolution. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one per diem travel and mileage rates for Los Angeles County for January 1, 2025 through September 30, 2025 shall be as stated in attached Exhibit A. Two, all orders, resolutions, bylaws, or regulations of the county or parts thereof inconsistent with this resolution are hereby repealed, to the extent only of such inconsistency. Excuse me. Three, the Board of County Commissioners hereby directs that copies of this resolution attachments be provided to each elected official and all county employees within all departments and offices. Upon a motion made and second, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this 21st day of January 2025 by order of the Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado.
Any discussion on this, commissioners?
Just the one typo.
Yep.
I just have one question. So I have, there's an office going for a conference training next week, I believe, and I've given them their per diem rates from the old one. Do I need to adjust and give them an addition?
Yeah, because it's in the future. The resolution is approved today, so anything from here forth, well, even though they applied.
I'll just let them know they have an addition.
Sure.
I'll check it first. I don't know.
That'll be great. And I want to say this publicly. Council, you, I read this when it came to me and I could not, my computer has been acting up, could not find the exhibit. So thank you for holding me by the hand and taking me to where the document was.
If I had attached the resolution the first time, I'd
be with it much. You will. Thank you so much for all the work that you do there. Any other discussion on this one? I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Sir?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Financial matters. We're going to go to section 10, payroll and bills for the first half of January. Finance Director Corbett.
You know, as of January 15th is $251,759.90. Do you have any questions on payroll? Invoices paid on January 8th, 2025, $969,130.32. And here we did pay our annual fees for the cap insurance of $644,000. Workman's comp annual insurance is $147,000. Then our sheriff's department has an annual fee for the law enforcement policy, $18,402. Is there anything that I might have missed in this? Oh, yes, and we also did pay CCI, sorry about that, for $14,520. That annual dues there.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions that I might have missed in this one?
No.
Let's see, did we pay anything else? Was that another? Then we did another small packet that we wanted to get out a couple of grants that I asked them if they would do. Let's see, this packet was paid on January 10th for $141,064.84. This was for grant 9748 and the Main Street grant, and then grant 9833. These were all asphalt, but I wanted them to do so I can upload them and receive the money before the 31st of January. And then that's all I have.
Any questions for Finance Director Coverty?
No.
I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve payroll and bills for the first half of January.
Second.
Commissioner Macero?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. And this is one of the most exciting portions for information only.
Information only.
It's almost poetry there for December 2024 financials. Yeah. Back to you, Matt.
So this is as of December 31st. We have not started the audit. This will definitely change, just to tell you that. So right now we're showing a deficit in general fund of 1.5 million, a deficit in Road and Bridge of 1.6 million. We definitely know that Road and Bridge will have a revenue coming in of you. I just showed you. We're waiting for that to come through and some expenditures. Let's see. Airport has a deficit of 50,000. Contingent has a surplus of 79,000. Capital expenditure has a surplus of 159,000. Lottery has a surplus of 48,000. PILT has a deficit of 1.2. That's because we transferred the funds to Road and Bridge. And it also did transfer to a general fund for the HVAC, the 900,000 that we received from PILT. And let's see, LEAF has a surplus of 1,753. The jail actually transferred 100,000 to the jail improvement fund and then has a surplus of 49,000. Okay, so like I said, this will definitely change, but I thought you might want to see where we're at as of today, because there'll a lot of accounts receivable, accounts payable that'll be coming through.
Yeah, especially looking at the general fund, $1.5 million gives a little bit of a heartburn, but I know there's a lot of transactions yet to take place.
And that was because we're using the ARPA funds that we received a couple of years ago. So that's where that's coming from.
Yes.
Yeah. So it wasn't additional revenue. It was revenue we had already had.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. Well, that's you can give us that information anytime you want. We really appreciate that.
Sure. See December before it changes.
Yes. Thank you. We're going to go to section 10, 11, executive session. The board will meet an executive session under CRS 24-6402-4A, the purchase, acquisition, lease, transfer, or sale of any other personal or real estate property interest. We have the park and the shop. And now, council, where do we put the consideration of waste disposal under what CRS statute?
The second one, four.
Yes, and so now under CRS 24-6402-4B, conferring with the county attorney for the purpose of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions, consideration of 2025 routine waste disposal bid, bond, urban renewal, phones, and electrical. So at this time, I will entertain a motion to suspend this Board of County Commissioners meeting to enter into executive session.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, with a small recess, 5-10 minutes. You are.
Secretary Commissioner, to make sure the mic's working, and yep, I think we're good.
Thank you, Commissioners. At this time, I'm going to entertain a motion to exit executive session and resume the regular Board of County Commissioners on this Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. We are going to be, we had item 9F that was brought down in the executive session, consideration of 2025 routine waste disposal bid that was laid on the table. I will entertain a motion to remove from the table.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. And also at this time, I will entertain a motion how to proceed with this particular line item.
I believe there's that equipment and supplies and services may be procured in the absence. Is that the right one? No. Bids received after the advertised bid deadline shall not be opened and shall be rejected as a late bid. The responsibility to ensure the bids are received prior to the deadline rests with the vendor. There shall be no acceptable excuse for a late bid to be reopened. For those reasons, I would move to reject the 2025 routine waste disposal bid.
I second it.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. And at this time, we don't have any other items on the agenda. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Peace.